It was one of the most dramatic days Stormont has ever seen as politicians got hot and bothered over the botched RHI scheme. The First Minister was asked to stand aside over the controversy. The Speaker, Robert Newton, faced questions about his role. The DUP were left alone in the chamber as the other parties walked out when Arlene Foster started to speak. That dispute was the result of a standoff with Sinn Féin. Martin McGuinness has said Arlene Foster was not speaking with his authority or approval after warning of grave consequences if the DUP did take the unilateral approach he is pushing for. So where does this go next? Sinn Féin's Conor Murphy with us today. Morning to you, Conor.
Morning, Stephen.
Where does this go next?
Well, where it goes next, I hope, is for some very serious reflection from the DUP. I think they need to come out from behind the wagons and recognise the damage that this is doing across the country, the damage that's doing to the political institutions. We had a further scene of farce yesterday. We had the Speaker dragged into disrepute, really, in relation to the proceedings in the Assembly, and all about just sort of protecting the party in relation to this. So I think there needs to be some very serious reflection, and we need to get back to this. We need to get this issue resolved, and that means that we need proper investigation into what happened. We need the scheme put together to try and undo the financial damage, and we continue to argue that Arlene Foster should step aside while this happens because she is centrally involved in the discussions around this.
And the DUP say there's not one shred of evidence against her.
No, and it
do you accept that?
It may well be the case that that proves to be the issue, but the reality is in previous incidents where there were a very serious issue of public confidence, in Peter Robinson's case, he stepped aside without prejudice for a period of time to allow an investigation to take place. Martin McGuinness has said where if he was in the same position, that's what he would do. And I think there is a real issue of public confidence here. The DUP have a responsibility not just to look after the party and to bat off all assailants, but actually to listen to the public mood in relation to this and recognise they have a big, big contribution to make in trying to restore public confidence.
But here's the score, surely. People would argue that the score is you don't want to bring down the institutions. Some people might admire you for that, others not. And despite your words, grave consequences, you're going to do nothing about this. You don't have leverage over Arlene Foster. She's going nowhere. You're not walking away. People know that, they would argue. So you have no leverage.
Well, you're right. We don't want to bring down the institutions. But we are very firm in the view that the institutions have to work and function properly, and particularly in the eyes of the public, that they have to do so. They're not at the moment. There is an issue of crisis of confidence. It's caused by the DUP, who are our main partners in the institutions, and their behaviour in relation to the scheme and their behaviour in relation to the allegations that are being bandied about as a result of that. And that needs to be fixed.
Christmas will come. Christmas will come. You'll come back in January. Nothing will have changed. Arlene Foster will have been there. You've got on the record grave consequences, and the country will move on.
No, not at all. This will be met in January, and it will be faced in January. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Then we are into a situation where the institutions break down. But we are determined and focused to try and get it to work. And that means that people have to step up to the plate in terms of a proper investigation and accepting the consequences of that investigation.
So when you say if it doesn't work in January, you mean if you don't get the inquiry you're asking for, do you?
We mean if there isn't, we have put a proposition of a series of measures. And what we're saying, this is what's needed to fix public confidence.
Okay, and if that doesn't happen, you say the institutions will break down.
Well, what I'm saying is if the...
That's what you just said.
If it's not possible to resolve this issue, then it is quite possible that the institutions will not function.
The words you used were, will break down.
Yes, that is quite possible. But that is not what we're focused on. We're focused on trying to make this work. The reality is that people are very angry. They want to see this fixed. They're not necessarily arguing for another election on the other side of this and a complete breakdown. But if that means that we have to fix it. And if we can't fix it, then we can't fix it. But our focus and the time ahead is to try and get this resolved. But that needs the DUP to actually wake up to the reality of what's going on around them, and to come out from behind the wagons, as I've said, and to actually recognise the public confidence issue that has occurred over their handling of this situation and what they're going to do to try and restore that public confidence.
When did Sinn Féin first become aware of the spike?
The spike?
Yeah.
Well, I was on the Debbie Committee at the time that happened, and it was after the new year, at the start of this year, when officials came to brief us about closing down the scheme. And alerted us what had happened during the time of the spike and the financial disastrous consequences that were arising out of the scheme, which makes it all the more surprising that some parties at the time, then we did bring it to the Assembly to close it down. Some parties voted to keep it open.
And what was your reaction? So when it was brought to Sinn Féin, what was Sinn Féin's reaction, Conor?
Consequences of it.
What was Sinn Féin's reaction when it was brought to you?
Well, our reaction was one of absolute horror, that firstly the scheme had been allowed to continue on, that the attempt to shut down or close, reduce the tariff had actually created a worse situation, and then that the department was rushing into to close down the scheme. And this is on that matter of public record. I spoke in this debate in February in the chamber. I spoke at the committee. I was the vice chair of the committee. Patsy McGlone was the chair of the committee. And we spoke about this. The attempt to close it down actually was then leaving some small contractors high and dry. And we did argue for a two-week extension to allow those people, not for new applicants, but to allow people to finish the jobs that they were in. And then we voted to close it down when others voted to keep it open.
0-30-30-80-55-55. Leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Mike Nesbitt, with us today. Well, that was a farce yesterday.
It was awful, absolutely awful, Stephen. And I think collectively, and I do mean collectively, all 108 of us, we went from the gutter into the sewer of public opinion, and we have a long way to climb to get back out and restore some integrity, credibility and belief in what we're doing up there.
While you're arguing, I'll remind you all that this is about the public's money. This is about the 400 million. So that pantomime yesterday that happened up at Stormont isn't where the public want your focus to be. They want your focus to be what went wrong, who was responsible, how are we getting our money back?
Yes, and these are all valid questions, but I think actually the most valid question of all yesterday was not to be directed to the First Minister, it was to the Deputy First Minister. And the question I would like an answer to, what exactly was it in that statement Arlene Foster made that made Martin McGuinness change his mind and withdraw his consent and endorsement of her saying it? I think that's absolutely key to what happened yesterday. And the other question...
What's key? Sorry, say that again?
On Friday, the Speaker wrote out to the MLAs and said he had received valid notice from the FM and DFM that they wish to make a statement about the renewable heat incentive, and would he please recall the Assembly. And the purpose was to make this joint statement. It's only going to be delivered by one of the two, but it was a joint statement from FM and DFM. But by Sunday, 2 days later, Martin McGuinness is making clear that if Arlene Foster goes ahead and makes a statement on Monday, she does not do it with his endorsement support. So what happened?
What happened, Conor Murphy? Well, you can tell us.
Well, Mike's off down another cul-de-sac. I think really what happened was very clear when the accusations started to be bandied about between Jonathan Bell and Arlene Foster, and the DUP focus was to try and fix that issue and to protect Arlene Foster, that it wasn't the type of joint statement that was about a proper inquiry, a proper scheme to try and undo all of this, and that in those circumstances it became clear that Martin McGuinness could not support that. So there's no big issue here. I think the question, I suppose, that most people were asking yesterday was why the Speaker allowed the First Minister to go ahead. And as I say, the focus on the DUP and protecting their own backs in relation to this has not only dragged the institution into disrepute, they've now dragged the Speaker into disrepute as well.
That is another key question, Stephen. And, you know, I asked the Speaker on a number of occasions if he could point to the rule, as we call them, standing orders, could he tell me the exact rule under which he was allowing the statement to be made? I asked him several times, and he was unable to answer. And I think it's perverse on the day that we were debating whether people, specifically the First Minister, had been acting appropriately, that we were effectively going to act inappropriately and break our own rules to allow this statement.
It's an interesting situation we are in now, because the public are listening to all of this. They are absolutely furious as to the amount of money that has been squandered. Are you confident we'll get some of this money back, Conor Murphy? Arlene Foster's told me she hopes to get at least half of it back.
Well, I have no idea, because I have yet to see the scheme. I know that the Finance Minister's only had some sight of it in recent days, so I have not had sight of it. But that's an important element of this, which yesterday's debate didn't address. The motion didn't address that at all. That is a very important element. But you're right, yes, the public are very angry, and they're entitled to be angry. And yesterday's scenes did nothing to abate that anger. It was a pantomime. I sat through a substantial part of the debate in the Assembly, and it was just like a catcalling exercise that parties were slinging insults and jibes across the chamber each other. That's not what the public want to see. They want to see people focused on fixing this issue. They want to see those responsible held accountable, wherever they may be in the political spectrum, held accountable for that, and they want to see the issue of the financial loss resolved.
There is detail emerging nearly every day about this story. Jonathan Bell, when he was up at the Assembly yesterday, called for the release of a document which was written by the Permanent Secretary, Andrew McCormick, on the Renewable Heat Incentive Scheme. And that has last night been released, this document. And within it, Andrew McCormick, the Permanent Secretary, says there were delays in introducing the reduction in entitlements in the autumn, as there was some initial reluctance to make the necessary legislative changes. Who had the reluctance to make the changes?
Well, that's a question. That's
a key question. Who?
Yes, of course,
Jonathan Bell alleges that special advisers within OFM, DFM were putting pressure on so that the changes were not made. Both Arlene Foster and the DUP and special advisers have denied that. But here's Andrew McCormick talking about a reluctance to make the necessary legislative changes. Who, Mr. McCormick, had that reluctance?
Well, there are a number of questions. One that we've never had a satisfactory answer to, and I listened to the Permanent Secretary at the time, speaking to the Public Accounts Committee, he said there was no satisfactory explanation as to why a different scheme was adopted here than the one adopted in Britain, why no cap was put on the scheme. Then we have the issue of the attempt to reduce the tariff and the delay in doing that, and the consequence of that delay in terms of a massive application. But the DUP did say the other day that they wanted an investigation free from partisan political interference. And what we have had over the last number of days is the economy minister releasing various documents from his department to prove Jonathan Bell wrong. That's not the type of independent investigation that would create any public confidence at all. What we need is this taken out of the hands of elected representatives and put into an independent forum where we can actually get at the totality of the truth, not a drip feed, he said, she said, she said type of approach to this from within the DUP circles.
I can add, Mike, because what I'm trying to do and what we're trying to do as a programme is put as much information into the public domain as possible. In response to Andrew McCormick's document, in which he wrote, as I've just read, he wrote other words as well, which we'll put on our website. But Timothy Kearns, who was Jonathan Bell's special advisor at the time, responded with the following, because I have the email trail. I have it. And here's what Timothy Kearns said. I'm not sure parts of this minute are accurate and does not stand up to scrutiny of paper trail. We'll give more substantive response in due course. Initially, I would observe that there was no reluctance to close in the autumn. Indeed, the minister cleared a submission in early summer, approving a 4th of September close, as per officials' advice. At no point had the minister challenged the officials' advice in this matter. As the record shows, a revisionist history will certainly not help going forward. And Andrew McCormick responds again by then saying that he stands over what he had written down. So clearly a disagreement on events. Andrew McCormick is saying, someone stop this being closed. Timothy Kearns saying, that didn't happen and a revisionist history will certainly not help going forward.
Okay, well, there you have two flat contradictory statements, Stephen. I don't want to comment on the individuals, but one statement comes from a career civil servant who has reached very close to the pinnacle of the Northern Ireland Civil Service. The other comes from a special advisor, a political appointee, there to protect and advise his minister. And I think that would lean my judgment to one rather than the other in terms of who to believe. But I think what it really points out is that the time for the drip, drip, drip is over. It's time to publish every scrap of paper so we can have a proper forensic examination of this. I fear it's also coming near time to blow the whistle on the Public Accounts Committee investigation and support the idea of an independent, judge-led, time-bound inquiry into the Renewable Heat Incentive scandal.
Well, the DUP aren't going to have it. And Conor Murphy this morning saying the institutions, Conor, is this accurate? Could fall in January if there's no progress? Is that accurate?
If there is a breakdown in the institutions, it does kick in a period of time according to legislation. So the timeline is wrong. What I'm saying is that this may
What do you mean? Sorry, explain that to me. What does legislation dictate happens?
If, the way the institutions collapse, and this is a sort of technical explanation because it's not something that we're arguing for, but the way the institution collapses, either someone, the first or deputy first minister, walk out of the institution, that follows then a six-week period in attempt to put things together, and then I think you're into an election. Having said that, as I say, that is a possibility if this isn't resolved. This is a very serious issue. I think there is a growing sense of unanimity across the political spectrum about the need for an independent investigation into all of this and a stop for the drip feed type of approach, which is just about protecting individuals within a party. That is ruining public confidence. The party involved need to recognise that, and they need to step up to the plate in terms of a contribution to resolving this issue.
Conor Murphy, Mike Nesbitt, thank you very much indeed.